The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
This is Vince Russo's The Brand.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to 8 days a week. If you know the routine, you know that it is Monday morning, even though you get this on a Thursday. This is the first show that Jeff and I record every week at the beginning of the week. We start our week with this 8 days a week. And next we are going to do our Patreon show. And I'm going to talk about the thank you taker last night. And if you remember, Jeff, we can go way back when Glenn and I had the discussion about retiring and coming back and what I really thought it did to somebody's legacy. Remember that, bro? Remember when Glenn shit on me then, too? Remember?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to read when we get on the show for Patreon there. Billy put out a tweet that really hit that point home last night. I thought
Funny with the wrestling business, bro. You know, the time and honor tradition is important when it works for them. But when it doesn't work for them, it's not important. Bro, I swear to God, the wrestling business is such a farce. And, bro, like, I know a lot of businesses are that way. I really know they're that way. But, you know, bro, I'm sorry, man. Like, I've been a baseball fan since, like, 68. Bro, you never hear about, like, just what a shitty organization MLB is or what a shitty organization the NFL is. Or, yeah, bro, there are issues. There's going to be issues with everything. But I can't believe for one second, you know, shitty people are in high-profile positions in, you know, sports and entertainment, and, you know, it's the whole freaking wrestling bubble. It's like icky. You know, like what icky is, bro? And, like, the older you get, like, the more icky it is. Like, I was reading this past week, bro. Bro, did you read this one? That Selena Vega wanted to talk to Vince, and she was escorted out. That's what I'm talking about, bro. Yep. But, like, who the F is Vince McMahon that he can't let this girl speak her piece? And but this is where they're stupid. This is where Vince is freaking stupid, okay? Because, bro, let her speak her piece. Listen to what she has to say. Then give your side. Well, Zelina, we can't have this because of A, B, and C. By being escorted out of the building, what did he do, bro? He pissed her off. So yep. Now she's going to get a lawyer, or she's going to get union representatives. She's going to tell them the story about being escorted from the building, which is like the norm in wrestling. That's not the norm to them. So now they're going to say, wait a minute. Like, you wanted to have a conversation with your boss on the way out, and they so, bro, now that's going to piss them off even more. That's what I mean about them, bro. Let me tell you something. Vince and Bruce and all those yahoos think they're mightier than God. First of all, they'll never be mightier than God. But, bro, they were a lot mightier back in the day. Make no bones about it, bro. There was a time when the wrestling business had a lot of stroke. Bro, in 1999, Fox paid me $30,000 to write a wrestling pilot. Okay? There was a lot of stroke. I remember meeting with people of every network. Every network wanted to do some type of show with us. We were going to make Mick Foley the Judge Judy. I remember all this stuff. Everybody. We had a lot of stroke. Okay, bro? You guys got shit today. You're embarrassing. And you're carrying on like it's, WrestleMania 1. And, you know, you've got this kind of clout and you got this kind of stroke. And celebrities wanted to jump on because they were promoting a movie and the WWE was hot and 10 million people watching. You guys ain't shit today. Like, seriously. So, like, escorting Zelina Vega out of the freaking building? Bro, that would be like me, you know, all of a sudden somebody's not on the brand anymore. For whatever reason, and they want to have a conversation with me and me saying no. Speaking of which, you have no idea who David Icke is, do you?
David Icke, the guy that produced Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, God. All right, guys. David Icke, I was turned on to David Icke by Ben and Stevie. He's not really a conspiracy theory because David Icke is kind of telling us, like, what's in front of our faces and what's happening and where everything is going. And David Icke has been doing this for decades. And like 20 years ago, this guy was seen as a kook and, of course, a conspiracy theory, the tinfoil hat. But now everybody wants David Icke because everything he has said is coming to fruition. And the one thing David Icke pointed out, Jeff, I watched an interview with him the other day for about 2 hours. You know what he pointed out, bro?
What?
Nobody will debate him. Not one of his critics will debate him. And I'm like, huh, that sounds interesting. This guy's a kook. This guy's a moron. This guy doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. But yet none of his critics would have a debate. You would think if he was that much out of his mind and a lunatic and a liar and making shit up, they would have no problem exposing him in a one-on-one interview. No problem. And I'm like, man, that sounds very familiar. But getting back to Zelina Vega, bro, how do you not have a conversation? Like, who the frick are you? Like, who are you to not have a conversation with another human being? That's what I mean. That's why they all deserve what they get. Bro, it was just swept under the rug over the week. This is what I mean about the dirt sheets too, bro. Oh, they're all excited about who's showing up for this Taker thing. What are they going to do with the Taker? Who's showing up? Who's coming? What team is he going to be on? Who's going to do a run-in? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Blah, blah, blah. Bro, at the same time, the WWE is coughing up $40 million in a lawsuit, bro, about, you know, some shareholders who were not happy with the Saudi deal and they weren't given all the information by the WWE and they gathered together and they were sued and the WWE settled to the tune of, bro, how is that not being talked about, but we're talking about goodbye Taker?
Because all the people that write on these dirt sheets at the end of the day, they're just marks and they love this shit. So the shows come first. They're excited for the shows.
It's unbelievable, bro. I'm reading all this ridiculous, effing, stupid news and buried in there. Oh, WWE settles up with $40 million. And I'm like, this isn't like, we're not going to talk about this. This isn't important, bro.
Well, no, who won? Team Raw or Team SmackDown? That's more important.
God, bro. Really? All right, bro, let's talk about what happened. Tell everybody what this show is about, Jeff, if they're tuning in on Twitch for the first time, if they're listening on podcast for the first time.
Yeah, you can join us for this recording, guys, at twitch.tv/VinceRussoLive every Monday morning, usually around 10 Eastern. Be a part of the show. Go Vu. Hopefully I said that right. Happy birthday. And Husky Love Machines at the hospital. Waiting for the arrival of his baby boy, so congrats. Oh, that's awesome. There.
Congrats, bro.
Yes, this show 8 days a week. We're going to take you through the week in the brand on the Realm Network, all these shows in video and audio. There is zero long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. It is less than $5 a month. Very inexpensive. If you like to listen to audio on the go, you get your own private RSS feed from the Realm Network. All you got to do is go to russosbrand.com. Right at the top, click subscribe to the Realm Network. Again, no long-term commitment.
You know, Jeff.
So we open.
Before we get started, hold on. Don't rush me. It's first thing Monday morning. Don't rush me.
You told me to go.
Jeff.
Yes.
I got out of the shower this morning, and I'm looking at myself in the mirror with one bad eye to begin with and one operated eye on that I can't see out of. But I'm looking through this fog and this haze in the mirror this morning, and I'm saying to myself, at what point did I start the transition into George Lucas? Like all of
I remember you one time you thought you were Colonel Sanders.
I'm George Lucas now. Like I'm like because my hair like is getting like very very George Lucas high for some reason. I'm looking very bro. I swear to God, man. I on Monday, Jeff, when I got back from surgery, I was so uncomfortable and I was sweating and I felt nauseous and I felt horrible, bro. I felt so bad. I almost like shaved my whole beard off because like I was sweating and shit and I felt like shit and I just wanted to take the thing off. Thank God I didn't, bro, because it's really starting to make a statement.
I can see the Lucas a little bit.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, go ahead. What happened on Monday?
Well, so we opened the week on Monday with Castrating the Marks, and in this clip, Tony Khan is explaining how the Chris Jericho MJF musical number was sports-oriented.
Do you think that segment opens the door for more sort of unconventional style vignettes in AEW, or do you prefer things to kind of stay close to the initial sports-oriented, everything that's happening is happening in camera?
I thought it was still pretty logical, man. Like, I think that segment is sports-oriented. Like, when I watch the ESPYs, or if you watch, you watch music videos, it's not unusual to see a big athlete in a musical number. And the key thing to me was that it wasn't done in an unrealistic context because, the idea that we ended up settling on, to me, is a very realistic idea. Chris Jericho and MJ.
Stop. Bro, like, he's not this ignorant. Like, he's not this ignorant. This is, again, bro, him kowtowing and catering to the freaking marks. He's trying to legitimize it now and make it logical to the bro. He can't believe what he's saying. I mean, bro, what he is saying is so freaking ridiculous. Rather than just say, well, you know what? We tried something new. It's something that Chris and MJF really wanted to do. I supported them. You know, we're open to trying new things. Rather than say that, he's going to say, yeah, bro, people are doing song and dance numbers on the ESPYs. Like, really? Where, Tony? Like, I've never seen a song and dance number on the ESPYs ever. So this is his way, bro, of trying to pass that off as being sports orientated. So the marks can't say, hey, wait a minute, bro, you're doing that stupid Russo entertainment shit. When he should just say, bro, we tried something new. We're always going to try something new and see how it works. So, he doesn't believe for 1 minute what he's saying. The guy's not that ignorant.
Well, do you want to hear the rest of it? There's a minute left.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for like two of the biggest showboats in wrestling, they're just really cocky guys. And, of course, they would love to, sing their own praises and go out and do this hammy performance together, because they're both egomaniacs, and of course, like the ambiance and the whole thing, it's very on brand for the two of them. But also, it was key to me that it was not something behind an invisible camera where these two guys were just having a dinner, and they weren't aware they were being filmed, and then they just broke into a song. Like, they were looking into the camera. Like, they were singing to the camera. It was for the fan.
Right.
Clearly they were doing it for themselves, right, as, yeah, the character. Right. But it was very much for the benefit
of
the fan.
Bro, please.
So
please,
it's like, to me,
cringe. I don't
hold
anymore.
On. You're going to miss the sports comparison.
It's just cringe. It's just cringe, bro. Come on.
In their minds, it was for the benefit of the fan. So to me, it's very much, it's still a realistic segment. I don't think people talk about sports-based feel, but I've seen athletes do tons of musical numbers, and, the Super Bowl shuffle was a Super Bowl shuffle, not real sports, because that's about as real sports as I can remember.
Okay, first of all, somebody should, like, does Tony know what tons is? Well, Tony, I know a ton is 2,000 pounds, so if you're saying tons, we'll say two, okay? Because one ton is a ton. You said tons, two. A ton is 2,000. Okay, bro, so you've seen that in sports 4,000 times. and you had to go back to 1985, bro. And bro, that wasn't in the midst of a football game, bro. That wasn't during a game. That was something after they won the championship. That was a gimmick. That was not in the middle of a game. This was in the middle of a show. So you're claiming that you've seen stuff like this 4,000, you've seen 4,000 times, but you had to go back to 1985. How many years is that? 95, 2000, 30, you had to go back 35 years ago to find one time, and that was not done within the context of a game. That was totally season over. These guys were the champions. They were having some fun. How can you even make that comparison? Bro, I'm not even knocking the segment, but it's like he doesn't even know what to say. Bro, this guy behind the microphone is cringe. Cringe, bro. I swear to God, bro, Dixie Carter is the most elegant, affluent speaker in the world compared to this guy. This guy should never be behind the microphone, bro. Seriously. I mean, they I swear to God, bro, they need to hire a PR person. This guy should not be doing interviews. He should never be behind a microphone. You're hearing throughout that whole thing, he doesn't even know what to say. He doesn't even know what to say. Bro, say we tried something different. That's all you have to say. We tried something different. It's something the talent really wanted to do, so I gave it my blessing. That to compare to say I saw this 4,000 times in professional sports. God, bro, that's the problem too, bro. There's nobody smartening him up. I used to make Dixie used to get so mad at me.
Obviously, to me that's absurd. We covered it there in that clip, but we keep hearing about the sports vibe, the records, the win losses, which, you know, that's already failed in my opinion. You know, everybody has their opinion on that. But now they're even trying to do things that are outside of the box and different and entertaining, and they're still trying to say that it's sports oriented. I mean, when you sit down and watch the show, I know you always talk about how it's match, run in, sets up the next match. But there's so many other things as well that aren't sports oriented. How would you classify this show, or can you even classify it as one or the other?
I can classify the show. I got a new classification for AEW, and I'm going to use this all the time when I talk about AEW. When I got to write my AEW reviews up, here's what it is: AEW wrestling, not interested in making money. That's it. That's the catchphrase, bro. It's that simple. They're not, they don't care about making money. Bro, their success is the 80,000 marks that tune in every week. Their success is those same 800,000 marks that tune in to watch the pay-per-view. That's their success. That's why they are deeming themselves successful, bro. They are not in the game to make money. And everybody's got to remember that with every show you watch, it is not designed to make money, bro. Bro, and this guy, bro, can you imagine? I don't care how much money you have. When you've lost $20 million in your first year and you're carrying on these scrums, like it's Christmas morning and your mommy and daddy brought you a new fire truck. Bro, you lost 20 million freaking bucks. Like, I don't care if your dad has 80 billion, thousand million freaking dollars. Bro, losing $20 million is nothing to freaking sneeze at, bro. That's a lot of freaking money. Can you imagine, bro, what the poor and the needy could do with $20 million. Can you imagine, bro, during this pandemic, what frontline workers and hospitals could have done with $20 million, police departments, fire departments? I mean, can you imagine, like, what good you could make out of $20 million rather than, bro, just back up a truck, pour the $20 million out in the street, take out your little pee-pee, and piss all over the $20 million? That's not success, bro. That's not success. Even like when I had my own businesses, okay, bro, you're going to assume you're going to lose money. You're supposed to assume you're going to lose a little bit of money the first 2 years. But even in doing so, bro, I was going to lose as little as possible. You know what I'm saying, bro? Like, I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, but we're going to lose $20 million for the next 5 years. We're committed to that. Well, you're an idiot then. You're not an idiot. You're a mark. You're a mark. You're the little boy with his fantasy booking who can call Mox at 11 o'clock at night and tell Mox you're great. Oh, my God, bro. Me even saying that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Calling Mox at 11 o'clock to go to, I got an idea, Mox. I got an idea, Chris. You're going to fall in a vat of orange freaking water. Okay, let's do that. Oh, oy vey. What's next? Get me off Tony Khan. Why don't you start first thing Monday morning with Tony Khan? Can we start about something better?
Well, Boris says that you look like a younger George Lucas played by George Clooney.
Holy shit. I like that, man. Thank you, Boris, my German friend. Thank you very much, Boris.
Also on Monday, Mr. versus Mrs. with Vito and Noel. Here's a look at last week's episode.
Vito, you, sir, I know what you're looking at. I see just what you're looking at. You, sir, where were you born?
Tampa, Florida.
No, no, no!
Can you give me my... Guys, I want to show you something.
I'll counteract it. Go ahead. We just discussed Vito working at Disney.
What does this say, guys? Vito from Tampa.
And what does this one say? Vito from Brooklyn. Now, which is it? Is it Tampa or is it Brooklyn? Vito, you were born in Brooklyn. You can pull out as many Disney badges as you want, but you lied and you are not from Tampa. And I remember the day you came home with that and you were just like walking around the house like this because you're just dying for me to notice your badge said Tampa. Now, I don't know who you bribed in the HR department, but you are not from Tampa.
I am from Tampa.
Why do you have a New York accent?
Why?
Yeah.
Because my daddy's from New York.
That doesn't mean you have a New York accent. My grandmother, her mother was from England. Does my grandmother have a British accent?
I don't know.
You know her!
Is that the one with the wig?
She doesn't wear a wig. We just have hair in our family. You don't have any hair in your family.
I knocked that wig off that woman every time.
She says the same thing about you. She already says you had hair once she knocked it off. She sees you typing on the phone. She goes, look, he's calling for backup. These things really happen.
I'll slap her.
My grandmother would beat your ass. Even in her 90s, she would kick the shit out of her. I would slap
her and her false teeth would chatter
for
90 minutes.
She doesn't have false teeth. She doesn't have false teeth. Vito, give me some basis for this. I'm born in Tampa. I'm from Tampa. When I see you go to the ring in wrestling and they say Staten Island and you call yourself the Staten Island Express. Is this like I'm from Tampa, like Skull Von Crush is from Germany? No, like, is this thing?
The reason I said that I was from Staten Island was because I didn't want to give away where I was living so people would crowd me.
That's bullshit. I have never, ever, ever seen a baby picture of you in Tampa. I have seen pictures of you at the New York's World Fair. I've seen pictures of you in Queens. I've seen pictures of your father's restaurant in Brooklyn. I have never seen a young Vito from Tampa. Where did you go to college?
Babe.
Where did you go to college?
Babe, I don't want to get out this information to the people.
Where did you go to college? Where did you go to college?
Now, on the newest episode of that show, Vince, I guess Noel was under the weather, the one that comes out this week, and no DQ Virtue filled in for Noel. So would that make him the missus?
I guess so, bro. I guess that would make him the missus, yes.
Moving on to Tuesday, talks with Taylor Hendricks. Taylor went solo this past week, did an excellent week in review in wrestling, and here's a clip from that show.
You know, obviously, WrestleMania is the flagship pay-per-view of the WWE, but Survivor Series and SummerSlam and the Royal Rumble are right on up there just after WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody always knows WrestleMania is the big one. But then there's the other bigger ones, too, that are, like, right there, but they're not WrestleMania. So So for me to have something make sense and build up for Survivor Series, especially with Liv Morgan off of such a big win and it's like, finally, very curious to see where they're going to be going with that, especially because those are two really huge titles and they just had such a long process of getting Sasha Banks to that title and winning. You know, so I'm very curious to see, very curious to see what happens with that. Another thing that happened for a WWE superstar, and a huge congratulations is in order, is the pop artist, acoustic artist, you know, for everybody who wants to be more literal and accurate, Ryan Cabrera, he proposed to WWE superstar Alexa Bliss. So congratulations to them. I can't wait to see them unfold their wedding plans on social media and see where all of that goes. I think that's going to be a very fun and exciting, but also challenging process with this whole COVID pandemic new norm that everybody's tired of hearing about. So we'll see how that goes and see kind of what decisions they make with such busy schedules and, you know, guidelines to adhere to that we hear on the news every single day. On the sadder side of things is Zelina Vega.
On Wednesday, the Raw and SmackDown review. You, of course, took this past week off because of your surgery, so it was Stevie Richards and Bin Hameen, and in this clip, they are talking about the delivery, the inflection, and the pace of WWE promos.
Into their drama where they think slow play makes everything higher stakes. Especially if you hang on every word that I say because you don't know what's coming next. I could say pineapple. And it doesn't matter because we've got 2 hours to fill because we just rewrote this shit at 3:30.
What is up with Roman Reigns' new delivery of the very quiet, like it's almost too relaxed.
Somebody told him a real badass never needs to get fired up. It's the quiet guys you got to watch out for.
Yeah, but you still need to be somewhat. You have to have some type of inflection or enunciation in your words.
I will not to shit on what your point is, but he's the one where I will put it over because the slow play was for later when he turns it up, when he does get hot, when Jay tries to step up without getting the command, you know, and goes into business for himself, what he thinks he would want. And that's where he flips. So the flip meant more because of the slow play on the beginning, but it was a little bit too melodramatic and made the whole thing, but that's wrestling. You know what I mean? So with him, I see where it went, but everybody else was a slow player too. It felt like we were, you know, walking through Jell-O right here.
Yeah, it seems like these rewrites were happening, and maybe they just didn't have enough time, because remember, we'll skip ahead of the Raw. Well, we won't skip ahead. We can't do that.
Somebody's off camera.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two-minute entrance. They're holding Drew and Gorilla. Don't go yet. Don't go yet. Keep the flames. Keep the flames going.
All right, thoughts on that, Vince?
You know what's funny about that, and I hear what Stevie say, but again, everybody listening to this show, so you know I don't bury everything WWE. I like what Roman is doing. I like Roman, but here's the problem, bro. We're 3 months into this Thunderdome, okay? 3 months in, and they still can't get the audio levels right. So when Reigns is sitting there talking with McIntyre, you can't even freaking hear him, bro, because 3 months in, you guys cannot get the audio levels right. And I think that's what Stevie's feeling. You know, I definitely think, because I like the cool, the common collective. I like all that stuff. Bro, I got to be honest with you. The simplest of things, Jeff. I was watching SmackDown this weekend, and every time Reigns, every time, bro, he talks about himself as the tribal chief, every time I pop. Like, it's funny to me. Like, when he's so cool, calm, and collectively refers to himself as the tribal chief, I laugh. So I like what he's doing, but the freaking problem is you can never hear when the guy's cutting a promo. Like, can you guys please figure that out on your end? Pretty please. Please, bro.
Moving on to Thursday, Black and White, you and Stevie Ray in this clip. He's talking about the ball of confusion.
So are you saying we talked about this to tie it over to the music gimmick? We talked about ball of confusion. Are you saying that Donald Trump was the ball of confusion needed, was the smokescreen, was the distraction, was the noisemaker, was the troublemaker needed in order for this to be slowly but surely implemented underground? That's what you're saying.
Because if you was going along with the plan, if you was really involved in the plan, you would have been wearing a mask the whole time. You never did.
Yeah.
Since y'all have put me here, I'm going to do what the fuck I want.
Yeah.
All right? Not only that, don't be surprised if the very people that put Donald Trump in office, don't be surprised if they try to ruin him now once he gets out of office. Don't be surprised.
Let me ask you this then. With what you're saying, Stevie, hypothetically, if Hillary was the one that was elected 4 years ago, Would none of this have ever happened?
The thing about Hillary Clinton, I don't know 100%, but I don't think Hillary Clinton, first of all, to get everything implemented, Hillary Clinton, you can't win. She was never going to win. She wouldn't have. Donald Trump was going to be in office regardless. That's what I believe. You were never going to win. That's why they made her look like a bad person. Some of the things Donald Trump was saying was letting people go, wow, okay, yeah, I can roll with this guy. And that's why I always go back to, how can you roll with a guy this time, but you didn't roll with him last time?
Yeah.
Because the very guy that they put out there to beat him, I mean, to beat Obama, he didn't even know where he didn't even run the next time. Why is that? Nixon ran in 1960 and ran again in 1969. Then he won.
One thing I've learned listening to this show is that Stevie has done so much reading and research on almost like every single historical thing that you can think of and that he talks about. So when he talks about these things, okay, well, did they want this person? This person was going to be president no matter what. They put him in to accomplish this, and now somebody else, whoever they want, is going to be put in. He's not just saying that as some like crazy theory person. Like this comes from all this stuff that he's studied and read and the stuff that people don't talk about, but it's out there if you want to find it.
Bro, I swear to you, that is the – bro, my schedule on Thursday is 10 o'clock timeout. I'm talking about mountain time now. 10 o'clock timeout, 11 o'clock Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco, and then 2 o'clock Stevie Ray. The reason why it's an 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock – bro, I got to research before Stevie's show. That is the only show, bro, that I actually have to research with him what I want to talk about, because I know he's going to know all this shit. And, you know, A, I don't want to come across as an idiot, but B, I have to know what to ask him. So, like, that legitimately is the only show of the week where, like, okay, man, I'm done with Disco. I got to start researching my show with Stevie. And, bro, we're going to get into unions, because there's a lot of people out there saying a lot of stupid things that don't know what the freak they're talking about, bro. And we were going to get into it on the last show. But, again, bro, we got into something else. We didn't even get to it. So me and Stevie are going to really sit down and talk about unions and if they would work, if they wouldn't work in wrestling. That's going to be in a future show. But, yeah, bro, the guys – I'm so lucky to be doing a show with so many people on this brand, bro, because I talk about this all the time, bro. You want to be around people that, like, make you reach for more and take you to new heights and help you better yourself. Now, of course, I'm not talking about Disco. That is a charity case. That is a charity case on my part, because I've known this sad sack for so long. I'm talking about, like, the Bins and the Stevies and the other Stevie, and, like, Taylor Hendricks, like, is freaking bro. I mean, these are the people, like, it's so rewarding to me to have something like the brand. That's why you guys should try it out, bro.
Also on Thursday, Goldie's Closet this week. Goldilocks had on Lance Archer. Here's a look at that show.
We don't play games.
Lance Archer, Lance Hoyt, and now the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer, with AEW.
Brand family, put your hands together for our incredible guest. Here it is. Yay! Mr. Lance Archer.
Red, it was cold, and it was just, you know, we ate it, and I was like, oh, this is really good. And even Shelton was like, yeah, this is not bad. It's pretty good. And then finally we're like, well, what is it? And he was like, they were like, oh, this horse meat. And Shelton's just like, no, no, horses are pets. They're not food. No. And they're like, oh, good tasting pet. I was working in a nightclub in Austin, Texas, and the guy who owned the nightclub knew that I was a good wrestler, and everybody did. And he knew a guy that randomly started a pro wrestling school in Austin, Texas. And, you know, he made the introduction, and he was like, hey, man, do you remember Lollipop?
Yes, I do.
So Lollipop, more or less, is the reason I got my chance in TNA.
I remember James Storm came up to me and said, they're letting you go. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what? Like, it was such a shock. I was on top of the world, and it was like, you're done. You're done. And I'm like, what? And he's like, there's a rumor, of course. You know who, spreading a rumor about me. I'm like, I'm not suing the company. Like, why would anybody say that? Because I was getting too much camera time, and it was time for me to go. And
moving on to Friday now, Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco. We thought we were wrapping up the show normal time, and then you guys got into this discussion about writers and wrestlers, and particularly The Rock and Austin. Got a little heated. Here's a look at that.
You don't think Steve Austin and The Rock could have gotten together with each other and said, what should we do? I mean, you were giving them good stuff, but you were setting them on a path
Glenn,
where their characters were so good and so...
Bro,
go ahead.
Glenn, they're coming to me every week, okay? Rock is coming to me every week. Rudy Pooh, what are we doing this week?
Right, because you're coming up with good stuff with them. But now my point is... here's my point. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
Rock turned out to be the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
Right.
Okay? As you develop his character and Steve developed his character and they knew exactly what their characters were, you don't think those two guys could have gotten together and say, hey, what should we do on TV this week?
No, bro, they would
have. Like, they're completely lost? Come on. The Rock's got writing projects. I mean, come on.
But, bro, they would have run out of material.
That you're making statements that just do not have a lot of fact based on. You're making generalizations and assumptions.
Well, no, I don't think he is, because they may be able to come up with stuff for themselves, but can they write
the
whole show?
You have no idea what they're able to do, Jeff.
You know,
neither
that's,
of you
no,
do.
I'm saying that's what he's saying.
Okay, you're commenting on, there's no way they'd be able to do that. How do you know?
I'll tell you exactly how
you're, Highest paid actor in Hollywood, right, and the number one guy in the wrestling business.
Okay.
You don't think those two guys are intellectually capable of coming up with stuff every week for themselves? Okay. Yes or no?
Bro, of the dozens and dozens and dozens of movies that Rock has acted in, okay, how many has he written, Glenn?
Well, I don't know. I know he's written a couple pilots, series and stuff. The Rock helps write too. Don't be a moron.
How many? You sound like an absolute imbecile right now.
You're trying to explain to me that The Rock can't come up with weekly television for him and Steve Austin. You're trying to make it. That's a credible argument for Dwayne Johnson. Don't be a moron here.
Bro, you're saying
this argument's over.
Dwayne Johnson is a writer now. He doesn't have one.
Are you that stupid, Vince? You have to be a writer to come up with something to do for an angle in 1 week for you and another wrestler. Don't be a moron.
1 week. We're talking about 6 months. I'm not talking about
I absolutely think he's capable of doing that, 100%.
I disagree.
Yeah, but you were talking about the whole show, not just one angle on the show. You were talking about writing the whole show.
No, you're
right?
Saying they can't do it. I say there's zero evidence of that.
Here's the evidence.
It can be done by anybody. Anybody can come up with an angle for somebody else.
You want evidence?
Now, you had talked about, not particularly in that clip, but what you have dealt with your whole career, is that anybody thinks that they can write a wrestling show. Why is that? Like, I don't see, I couldn't imagine actors going to a set and they all think they can write the show better than the person,
Jeff,
that wrote the episode.
We used to have a creative meeting once a week. Okay, bro, we used to meet at some hotel in Atlanta. Okay, we used to meet there. I don't even remember what it was. Bro, we would spend like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. They'd bring in lunch. We'd get, you know, shrimp cocktail, like whatever. Bro, Glenn used – I want everybody to understand this. Glenn used to sit there. Bro, no notepad, no pen, nothing. Glenn would sit there and throw ideas out. That's Glenn's idea of writing a show. To sit there and randomly throw out ideas. That's all he ever did. That's it, bro. He never wrote anything down. He never took notes. He never attempted to write a script. He didn't talk about how do you open the show? How do you close the show? How do you go in commercial? How do you go out of commercial? Never wrote any dialogue. Never. Never, bro. Glenn never wrote something and handed it to me. Ever. It would be him showing up with that obnoxious hair and that gargantuan nose and just throw ideas. Oh, yeah, it would be a good idea if Lance Storm got all the belts. He never had to go through the process when that was over. So I would have to sit there. I would have to gather all this information. Then I would have to sit down one-on-one with that blank sheet of paper, the screen, take everybody's idea, what works, what doesn't work, how does this flow, how do we go into commercial, out of commercial, how are we opening, write the dialogue, bro, so we had something to he never freaking did that. You see, bro, that's the difference. I don't know, bro. Maybe it is the difference. I got in a wrestling ring. So, like, I know, like, bro, like, I can't do this. Like, maybe I knew it because I did it. He never had to do it, bro. So, in his mind, like, anybody can do it. Okay, well, here's my argument. If anybody can do it, then why have the ratings gone down for over 20 years since Ferraro and Russo, two writers, left? Why have the ratings gone down for 20 straight years then? You tell me. Ed and I had the combination of, let me tell you what the combination was. First and foremost, bro, we were East Coast guys, Jeff. Okay, so we're not good old Southern boys, and like we're street smart. Okay, that's number one. We're street smart. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we were wrestling fans growing up. Not marks. We didn't go to shows dressed as Jim Cornette. We admired the theater of wrestling. Okay, add to that, Ed wrestled indie. Add to that. So Ed had actually been in the ring. So now, bro, now you look at our writing experience. Bro, at that point, I had written thousands and thousands and thousands of articles for WWE Magazine, Raw Magazine. I was writing promos for the boys. I was writing promos for Goldust. I was writing promos for Sean. I was writing for the talent, but I had not written a show yet. Ed, on the other hand, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Weird Science. Ed was a legit L.A. Hollywood writer who left there because of the game. He couldn't work within that system because it was a lot like wrestling. So when you look at all the experience Ed and I had that we brought to the show, then on top of that, Jeff, you got our New York, New Jersey pride. We ain't going to write a shit show, bro. You got our pride, man. And when you're an Italian guy from the Northeast, you're very prideful. So again, my question to Glenn. Bro, Rock and Austin were there when we left. Undertaker was there when we left. Mick was there when we left. It carried on after we left. What happened, Glenn? And bro, Austin and Rock would not have been able to come up with a spectacle every single week. Would they have been able to come up with something? Yes. But bro, we didn't want to just come up with something. We had to come up with something every week that was going to bring them to the next level, not diminish the character like we see the WWE do week after week after week. They diminish the character. We weren't going to do that to Rock and Austin. So we always had to up the game, up the game, up the game, up the game. Would they have been able to do that, bro? I don't think so. I don't think so for a couple of reasons. First of all, you got to keep in mind, bro, they're still wrestlers. So they're thinking about their match. They're thinking about the promo all week long, bro. They're doing, they're doing PR. They're doing interviews. They got to go to this ticket sale and that ticket sale. No, bro, you don't come up with that shit off the top of your head. That is me and Ed in a closed room, bro, with no outside interference, just throwing a million things back and forth at each other. Boom, 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 boom. That shit takes time. Glenn does not understand that because he's never freaking done it.
And you wrap up the week on Saturday, bucket full of chicken necks. This episode, you took everybody through the entire ordeal of your eye surgery. Here's a clip from that show.
I'm going to walk you through the process because what they did was incredible. First of all, guys, I got to say, I had a very hot nurse. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say hot nurse anymore. I don't know if that's racist. I don't know if I'm supposed to say attractive. I had a hot nurse and she had a hot name and her name was Alex. That helped. The fact that I had a hot nurse helped. So, bro, here's the worst part, man. My surgery is at 1. You got to go in for pre-op at 11:30. So you got an hour and a half to just be laying there thinking about it, all right? And I'm texting my wife, bro. What they're telling me, bro, is after the surgery, you got to lay on your back 24 hours. You know, you got to look at the ceiling. You can't put any pressure on the eye. And like they're just going on and on. And the way they're describing it, it's like I'm not seeing life on the other side. Like I'm being honest with you. I can't see the other side of this. All I'm seeing is you're not going to survive this.
Now, if you want all the details on that, on the hot nurse and everything, check out that show. But now that... God, what are we, over a week? Or it's about a week now. It'd be a week today, right, since you've had it. So what's the updates? How are you feeling?
Well, the updates is, I mean, I don't have any pain or anything else like that, so I'm 1,000% thankful. I'm not experiencing anything like that. Bro, it's going to take a while for that eye, for the eyesight to kick in. I was doing a lot of research this weekend, bro, and I was reading that, like, it literally could take a year. It literally could take a year for that eyesight to be perfect, but it definitely like takes months. So it's not like I'm going to be able to see, like a beagle or something in a week. So, you know, it's tough, bro, because I'm walking around one eye, you know, my left eye that I didn't have the surgery on and I have to have the surgery on is bad to begin with. And now the right eye is worse than the right eye was originally because it's going to take, you know, it's literally going to take months. But, you know, like I said, bro, I have sight. I don't have any pain or anything like that. So I'm very thankful.
All those shows, guys, you get in video and audio again on the Realm Network. There is zero long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. Less than $5 a month. That's nothing. Think about what you spend $5 a day on. This is less than $5 a month in video and audio. Just go to russosbrand.com. Right at the top, click subscribe to the Realm Network. Of course, I do a couple things on the side. If you want to check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/JeffLane22. I do some live gaming throughout the week. You can come hang out and chat with me. And I also have a Patreon starting at just $1 a month. You can listen to me review the awful Raw and SmackDown reviews. I do some video game stuff and I go through the show Lost episode by episode. And of course, check out the latest Get My Go, where I make an appearance, and of course, Chad, who's on the brand as well, the Triple Threat Podcast.
Guys, I'm going to go over on Patreon. We're going to do a whole show, a special edition that nobody else will see unless you're a Patreon bro on Thank You Taker. Because I've had
Russo Raw tearing up gets this one.
I've had enough with the Thank You Taker. Like, see, I love Taker. I have all the respect in the world for the guy. This is not a dig on him at all. I would never do that. it's a dig on the situation and the handling of the situation and, you know, the hat in the ring and then the sortie and then this and then, okay, bro, so what's next, bro? He's going to do something at WrestleMania. So I'm going to talk about this over on Patreon. So, guys, check that out as well. You got russosbrand.com here. And, guys, as a matter of fact, look for a very, very special offer from russosbrand.com that you should see in a couple of days. Keep your eye open for that, but also check out patreon.com/RussoTWC. Bro, before we go, though, I was going to play out with my music. I want to play my latest clip, which is turning into one of my favorites.
Troy with 150 bits.
Here we go.
You know, and the